We talk about the kingdom of God all the time, and so I think often I really assume that we know what it is all about. But after last week, when I kind of fell into this idea about kingdom of God that seemed like a new one, and I got feedback from several of you that that was an important distinction that you as well hadn't all made. And that was the idea that God's Jubilee system of the Old Testament really comes to fruition in the kingdom of God, that that's where it's lived out today in really powerful ways, is in the kingdom of God. And I put two and two together. I now find evidences of it in places that I hadn't seen it before, but it never resonated as strongly in me until I poked onto that subject last week. So I wanted to take a little time to take a deeper look at the kingdom of God, and we're going to unpack that in the next few weeks. On one hand, it's the culture we swim in all the time that we know as well as we know anything. On the other hand, we often take it for granted, and I think we really miss the power of living in the kingdom of God and how that really changes everything. The kingdom of God is a countercultural realm in which we live with God. Some have assumed, particularly some denominations or theological schools, maybe I could put it that way, have assumed that this is only about the future heaven, that someday we will arrive in the kingdom of God way out there. And I wonder if that isn't partly because in Matthew, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. The other gospel writers talk about the kingdom of God, but that, you know, might kind of confuse, and we often don't really unpack all these theological understandings very well to realize what they are. But in Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." And other places it talks about the kingdom of heaven being near. Just that this is a now thing that has come and is with us. As followers of Jesus, we actually live in both worlds. But our true home is in the kingdom of God. And it's natural, therefore, that we feel at odds with a secular world around us. Jim Wallace said, "The gospel of the kingdom is the central message of the New Testament, the inauguration of a whole new order in Jesus Christ, and the establishing of a new peoplehood whose common life bears witness to that new order in history." So it's pretty life-changing, and it's a big deal, and we sometimes kind of slide right over it onto the next. The Lord's Prayer says in part, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That it isn't just this sometime later, but that the kingdom would come now, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. This countercultural realm where we live with God is simply living in harmony with God and living in harmony with God's way. But it's more than just a God and me space, kind of this kind of microcosm where, okay, God and I, we live together, we got it figured out. There's a communal aspect to the kingdom of God in which we're all together in this thing following God and living out God's way and God's heart. In community. In the kingdom of God, things are rightly ordered and God is in God's rightful place. And we humans are living life on earth in cooperation with God and with God's right order. Not only do we benefit from this right order, but the whole world benefits from the right order, from things being as they should be, connected with God. We look back to the Garden of Eden and before the fall, and we see that place of perfection with God, that place where Adam and Eve lived in this wonderful garden where they had resources that they needed, things grew And it was very pleasant. In Genesis 2, we find a lovely picture of what the garden was like. Every living thing was in harmony, and every living thing was pleasant. We look forward to heaven and the life in union with God in the hereafter, and to that place where we're free from earthly encumbrances, those things that entangle us and that we trip over, and we think we can see that as a wonderful place. But with those two images in mind, we can get some glimpses of what it's like to live in union with God and what we feel like it should be, this kind of, if we're in union with God, it would all be good. But then we immediately become aware of the disparity between what is and what we think should be, and the struggle that we face here on earth. And the truth is that we live in a broken world, and we struggle to see what God is doing. God, couldn't you just fix this stuff? One reason why we're so tempted to withdraw and live separately from the world is that we yearn to move into this place where everything is okay and good. And I think Christians have over the years been tempted to kind of separate themselves out. And I'll live with people that think just like me, and it'll all be sweet and nice. And it would make sense to us too if God would start over and give everybody a fresh start. If we could wipe the slate clean, do something so that it all began to work good together. But that isn't how Jesus said it would happen, actually. One by one, as individuals, we're restored to love and to trust in God. And from this place of transformation and renewal, people begin to trust God at work within them. It's from this solid base of trust that we align our lives with God's heart and with God's ways. That's what we commonly call salvation. As we begin living in the kingdom of God, as we take up our place as citizens in the kingdom of God. Trust is key here, as that is what was broken, both in the fall when Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the tree of knowledge, and the story that we have, that story around that encounter, and what we know then commonly as the fall, in which they broke trust with God and lived with broken trust. We also lost trust personally. In our brokenness, we feel like we can't trust the world or anyone to be there for us or to fix it. We're on our own. And we feel kind of disconnected and hopeless in that. No one can do this for us, but we begin to trust God in this encounter. And when we see that God's love is true for me, and in loving me, that God cares for me and wants what's good for me, we begin to trust again. And that is the key thing. This beginning to trust again is huge. It helps to begin this trusting when we're a part of a larger community of more experienced trusters. That's one of the things I like about North Seattle Friends, is you all are much more experienced trusters, and that we need that sense of being able to hear those stories of what it's like to trust when things all kind of go wonky. And we're not really sure what's going on. To know that Don and Alice are still trusting, even though Don has this serious thing going on with his heart, is huge. Yes, we come alongside, but knowing that we can be in this place of trust in the midst of struggle is huge. And the truth is, we can do this on our own. We can enter into this trust relationship with God without anyone around. But I think it's really easier when we can watch others. We need people to walk alongside us, to point out things. That's why Way of the Spirit is so profound, and the other ministries that I named earlier, because they really come alongside and help people to navigate through those places where they get stuck. And we're going to get blocked and we can't get past it. The story I told about Diane, she had some things happen to her and she couldn't get past it. She was stuck and she was not ever going to get past it. And then to go to a place where they could unravel some of that. And we all need those places where others can come alongside. It's also the reason we tell God stories, to bear witness to this trusting God thing. It is a huge thing. So broken trust and reestablishing trust with God, I think, is foundational to this whole kingdom of God and being able to enter into it, to begin stepping our toe into this pool of trust and say, I don't really get it. I don't know how it works. I'm not sure what this all means, but I choose to trust in this way, in this little situation. I choose to hold on and say, it'll be okay. And we step into that. As we begin to trust God, we align our lives with God's heart and with God's way. And we become, enter into this kingdom of God and become citizens of it. It's this new place that we live. In Romans 8:14-17, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." So everything's changed, but you're not supposed to live this fear-based way that you lived before. Because you have received a spirit of adoption. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He does go on to tell the truth. He says, if in fact we suffer with him, we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. So it doesn't, there's no promise you a rose garden here and that it's all going to be pie in the sky. There will be no struggle. In fact, time and time again, Jesus says, you're going to have trouble in this world. That's just a reality. But that God is with us. Another place is in Colossians 1, where Paul is praying for the church at Colossians and says, "For this reason, since the day we have heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." So we enter into this new place where we live wholeheartedly with God and we are given everything that we need to live in that space. It is our inheritance to be joint heirs with Christ, to inherit with the saints of the light, and that we are rescued from the past and from darkness. So the kingdom of God is now. It is our home, our primary allegiance. It is the place that we live. And in this new place of living, this kingdom of God, God tells us what's going on. God doesn't leave us in the dark, so we wonder, what are you doing here? But God communicates with us. In fact, in John 15, one of our favorite verses and one that we love as friends, because it's where we get our name, is that Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I heard from my Father." So God makes God's will, God's purposes, God's knowings known to us. We don't live in the darkness. Earlier, the scripture that was on the projector talked about being in touch with everything that there is to know of God. We are not left to wonder and to figure it out. We can know God. And we can know what God is doing in this world. God shares secrets of the universe with us, tells us what is going on. And in so doing, we're giving entrance into working together to right the world around us. The kingdom of God isn't just about coming back into communion with God, coming back into this relationship or connection with God, but it's about God working to transform all of creation. That's where the Jubilee that I spoke of last week really comes into play. The kingdom of God is global, and all of creation submits to the power of God. And Jubilee is God's economic system, and it is reality in the kingdom of God. It is how we live in the kingdom. And as we live into the kingdom and the Jubilee, we make it visible on earth. We let it be seen in ways that others who have not encountered, have not yet learned to trust, can begin to see the kingdom. As people living within the kingdom of God, we don't separate ourselves from the secular world. We don't move out of the neighborhood into Christian conclaves and set ourselves apart from the world. Yes, there are those that are called to monasteries or to study, but they have a particular and unique calling. Most of us are to live in interaction with the world around us, live where we intermingle with everyone. And it's there in this world that we rebuild in the middle of the rubble and the brokenness that is all around us. We build our own lives personally. We rebuild that which is next to us. We come alongside others as individuals who are struggling. We right systems that are broken. We all follow our callings to bring health, this holistic health and redemption to the world. In so doing, we join God's heart to redeem all of humanity and all of creation. God yearns for this to be a place where things, everything is in right order. And God works through us to do that, to bring this holistic redemption. That holistic redemption reaches every aspect of our lives in this world, every aspect of the world around us. Jesus' redeeming death and resurrection and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not done just to get us to heaven. It was done to bring heaven to earth. Again, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was done so that we could live every mundane, every ordinary moment, every aspect of our lives in the eternal now here on earth. Jesus' death and resurrection means that we can fully participate in the resources of the eternal now. That means all resources, all power, and the fullness of God is available to us. Everything is at hand. We often don't live that way. It's like walking into a grocery store and saying, there's no food here. It is available to us. It is all around us as we live in the kingdom of God. Everything is available. The Holy Spirit, the living Christ, is at work through us to refigure the broken world and its people, to transform lives. To transform lives in very practical, tangible ways, to feed the hungry, to bring sight to the blind, to heal hearts, to walk alongside elderly people, to be there in all of those tangible ways. It's also there in transformative spiritual ways to help every one of us and those around us to engage and to be able to trust God. It is this holistic transformation process that God is about through the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is working to refigure the broken world and its people to the very purposes for which they were created and brought into being. That which was lost is being restored to them as they return to their intended purpose. Every single individual, every single living organism or being, every single institution, everything has a right-sized purpose. And as we are a part of the kingdom of God, we work to return things to their right-sized purpose so that they can be about that which they were called to be about in the first time place and got lost somewhere in all of the stuff of life that gets people off track and gets people and systems out of bounds. This kingdom of God living changes everything for us. We need to fully live into this new culture of the kingdom of God, to take our rightful place within it, to stand tall as citizens of the kingdom of God and live it out every day. It's like moving to a new country. We're tempted to build a space where nothing changes. I think when Americans move to other countries, they're often tempted to take their little American enclave with them and settle down in a new country and be just as American as they possibly can within the confines of that new country. Yeah, that seems like not very smart, doesn't it? But we do the same thing with God. We try to take our secular past into this place of living with God, but still kind of live the old way in this new place of living with God. And then we wonder why we struggle. Because we're living with all this other stuff that isn't a part of this culture any longer. It doesn't belong here. Rather, we must fully embrace this new kingdom of God and fully live into the implications of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. We've immigrated into the kingdom of God, and so we want to fully align with this new kingdom, to fully orient ourselves to living as the kingdom way to live is about. So for the next few weeks, we're going to look at the kingdom of God and really unpack it some more. And what is it? What is it not? And how do we access the power of the kingdom and make it ours and those kinds of things? But for today, I really want to reiterate that this is our home. That we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Every single one of us are citizens of the kingdom of God. We have chosen to align ourselves with God and with God's Spirit. We have chosen to walk with Jesus through life. And Jesus has called us citizens of this new kingdom. And we take it with us everywhere we go. To work, at home, in play, in our relationships, everywhere we go. For me, I really like to personalize it and think of taking Jesus with me everywhere I go. That I'm just kind of lock arms with Jesus and we kind of go together everywhere. And when I visualize Jesus with me everywhere, it makes a difference. I see things differently. I think of things differently. I'm much more aware of what I'm doing and being intentional about that process. Also, when I take Jesus with me everywhere, I mean, it's like he's there all the time anyway, right? So it's not that my taking Jesus with me everywhere means that if I don't take him, he's not there. It just means that I'm aware of it, that I'm conscious of Jesus being present. And that then it's much easier for me to have conversations with Jesus all the time, just to talk about stuff. I don't get this. What about that? Oh, Jesus, we need to pray for this person. Whatever it is, there is this ready place of talking. Whatever works for you, I challenge you to become aware of the kingdom of God, to think about how that changes life for you. How do you do things differently if you live in the kingdom of God? Notice where you've stepped out of the kingdom of God and into world systems, where you get caught up in ways that, and you feel this disjointed, and I don't fit. It's not working. Now what? Places. Notice where those places are. And then just simply step back into the kingdom. I choose to stay aligned, and I choose to enter back into your kingdom, God. It's as simple as that. I love what Thomas Kelly said when he talked about, don't beat yourself up when you get off track. Just simply realign. Step into the light. Reconnect. Refocus. Whatever words work for you, to just simply step back into that place of being at home in the kingdom. God is there. So we just need to recenter, to refocus. The kingdom of God is now. Welcome home. Let's listen as we wait in the presence of God and invite God to speak directly to us.